Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
It's a factor.
Of course.
We have to keep it in mind.
Of course.
And then the way he's been coached, at least last week, is almost like they're afraid of him missing any more time. So I think all things need to just be considered when comparing Jackson Dart and Caleb Williams. But
we have a trade with the Mets here.
We got a Mets trade?
We do.
Is it a significant trade?
Is this a good trade?
Hold on.
Are you
Don't ask Tommy that.
Okay, Tommy, are you happy about this?
Very.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I'm very excited. I have no idea. I've not looked at my chat. I'm closing my tablet. Are we getting a pitcher or are we getting a position player?
It's more about what we're giving up than what we're getting.
They've dumped Jeff McNeil.
They have.
Wow.
To the Oakland A's, and the Mets are acquiring a minor league pitcher and cash.
Man, this is a complete teardown of what was.
Wow.
That's clearly what the plan was for the New York Mets. Get rid of what was and we're restarting.
I mean, you talk about the core being completely flushed out.
I mean, is it now fully?
Yes. I mean, other than Francisco Lindor and Juan Soto. Let's go, Mets! Wow, So how much money are they picking up on Jeff McNeil's contract? Because that was part of the issue. Like, they were going to have to pay a part of it. How much are they throwing? Any details on that?
Still waiting on all the details.
And they did get a minor league player?
Minor league
player.
Do you
have a name by chance?
It just says minor league pitcher and cash. Still waiting all the details. Do we need a name?
Minor league.
It could be Thomas Barber. Who cares? They got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Addition by subtraction. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that it's been obvious for a while that they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. They're never going to get a lot back, clearly, but they were going to trade Jeff McNeil. Even when David Stern said, well, he's got a lot of versatility. Right now, he's the opening day left fielder. We'll see. He's so valuable. I think especially when they signed Jorge Polanco, who's better than Jeff McNeil and can play all over the infield, it almost became obvious that McNeil would be gone. So he is gone. And poor Jeff, he's going to Sacramento to play for the A's. Boy, what an F you to him.
Well, at least it's California.
It is California.
The weather's nice.
Well, Sacramento's California.
It is California, but it's not the...
I don't know if Sacramento counts.
Think of all the cities in California, Sacramento.
I have never been to Sacramento.
Really? Me neither. I've never been there. Tommy, big question for you.
Of course.
And Pete Hoffman is back there. I'm sure he wants to know as well. Is this Rico Bronya worthy? Do we have to do a Jeff McNeil is gone Rico?
I think you have to do only a Jeff, but just all these guys, Nimmo, Alonso, Jeff are now
all
gone.
Are you going to do a celebration of the Jeff McNeil years with the Mets?
It's a great question.
Like,
so,
what kind of Rico would you do for Jeff McNeil?
It's a great question because debuting, I think tomorrow, is our Brandon Nimmo tribute. Mm. We have a Brandon Nimmo tribute on the Rico Bronya. We haven't decided what to do with Edwin Diaz. Alonso will get a tribute in a few months.
He deserves it.
No question, but you're right about Jeff McNeil. I mean, here's a guy who was there for 8 years. He won a batting title.
Mm-hmm. And then he got immediately bad after that.
He did. Does he deserve a Rico Brogna tribute? I got to think about that one, Teague. It's a great question.
This is the Rico Brogna Podcast.
By the way, we have more details. This is from Jeff Passan. The Mets will receive a rookie ball arm in the deal.
A rookie ball arm. So he basically got traded for a 17-year-old or an 18-year-old.
Did they give you a name yet?
And they had to give cash?
The Mets will also be sending cash to help cover McNeil's, you know, $15.75 million salary, plus the $2 million buyout and a club option for next year. Mm. Were they paying for his flight, too? Right. And moving?
They dumped him for a bag of balls. Yeah. They dumped him.
Do you have a name of this rookie ball player we got? Or is it just still some floating head?
No, this is like in wrestling.
This is, from this parts is to be drafted.
Jet Roberts, maybe? Is that the name?
Well, it's not a surprise they had to pick up money. I mean, He's making $15.7 million plus that buyout he mentioned. Like, no one was just going to take it. So the Mets were going to have to pick up some cash to get the deal done. I got to admit, Tommy, I'm disappointed. Because when you said trade, I was like, all right, we got a new ball player.
I know.
I'm excited. You know, yesterday, Wilson Contreras went to Boston. I still want a real first baseman. And then you give me, it's addition by subtraction. We got rid of Jeff McNeil.
Right, but I think that a lot of Met fans out there that have soured on Jeff McNeil, which is like 99% of the audience, fan base, would be very upset if Alonso gone, Diaz gone, Nimmo gone, and somehow Jeff McNeil remained. Just had a double.
Well, yeah, if you're stripping down, you might as well get everybody out.
I agree with you, and I am in favor of moving on from him, but it's just another piece of production that needs to be replaced. Mm-hmm. I know he's not a great ball player, but he had 12 home runs last year at a 750 OPS. Like, he was a human who existed and had some production.
But they've already replaced him.
What?
They already replaced Jeff McNeil.
Well, they did in terms of second base, but they have two holes in the outfield. And so if you looked at Semien as replacing Nimmo, mm-hmm. or I should say Polanco is replacing Nimmo, and Semien just being an upgrade at second, they still have to replace Pete Alonso and now Jeff McNeil.
But Evan, if you got rid of the fridge in your kitchen and your wife said, well, what are we doing? You're like, well, we're going to put a new fridge there. Like, they're obviously going to trade for an outfielder.
But we don't know who, and that's the big question.
Would they be better than Jeff McNeil, though, in all likelihood?
I don't know. Is Luis Robert Jr. better than Jeff McNeil?
Yes.
But the stats would tell you you're wrong.
Is his potential not better than Jeff McNeil?
No, I like Luis Robert Jr. I've had to sell him on both of you. I'm just saying, we don't know.
Robert Jr. feels like he just needs a change of scenery.
I've said that.
Right.
I think you're just repeating what I've told
maybe
you.
Maybe I am, but it just, the White Sox are just, are they even trying?
By the way, they just signed Munetaka Murakami. They're going for it, baby.
And I saw in the Met chat, how soon until he gets traded?
That was me.
Exactly.
That was me saying that.
Yes. And you're right.
You know how I know that Tiki just repeated something I said? So the other day, the rumors have continued to heat up about mm-hmm. Luis Robert Jr. And I remember right after the Mets traded Brandon Nimmo, I brought his name up. Yes. And you, Tommy, and Sean were like yelling at me, like, stop with this Luis Robert Jr. That's not what they're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
Well, it just seemed like the lowest and easiest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even have to jump to grab that apple.
It's so easy, yet the White Sox still haven't traded him.
That's true.
But when I said to you, Luis Robert Jr., you kept putting it on me, like, do you want him? And I'm like, I think he's a buy-low candidate. Because 2 years ago, he was really good. And then finally, I said to you, I think Luis Robert Jr. just needs to change his scenery. And you're like, whatever, I think he stinks. And now you've come along, you're like, Evan, I think he needs to change his scenery.
No, I'm just saying. If
where's
you get
Simpatico?
Who else are you going after?
There's a few options. Cody Bellinger, I think, is still someone they're targeting.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to get him, but I think he's still someone that they're hoping they may be able to sign. I'm not confident they're going to sign Cody Bellinger because I don't think the Mets are going to go to 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just don't.
It's just not in the operating manual for David Stearns.
Yeah, I read.
It's not what he likes to do with aging players.
Right, and he will be aging. And Will Salmon wrote something interesting in The Athletic about, he was basically prodding the Mets to sign Cody Bellinger and said, hey, sometimes you have to be uncomfortable, which we've talked about a lot in free agency. And he said, ideally, the Mets would love if Bellinger's market fell to 4 years. Well, here's the problem. If Cody Bellinger has to settle for a 4-year deal, he's going back to the Yankees. He's not leaving.
Why would he? Yeah. Why would he leave for something less than what the Yankees are offering?
And the Yankees, I think we all assume, will at least be offering Cody Bellinger a 4-year contract. So this idea that, well, the Mets would love to get Bellinger on a four-year deal, I don't think they get him on a four-year deal. Either way, breaking news, if you're just tuning in, the New York Mets have officially dumped Jeff McNeil. He is now a member of the Athletics, and they got back a single A pitcher who does not have a name yet. Once we get a name, we'll pass it along. I just want to look at some human and say, oh, that's the guy they got back.
Yeah, you want to feel some level of optimism, even if the kid has no chance of ever playing in the majors.
He's a single A player. You never know.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had, and the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day, and everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Real quick, because I know this probably deserves more time, but really it might not. I think the bigger conversation is more in line of where I'm going to go. So the Mets essentially just said, who wants Jeff McNeil? Take him. So they sent him to the A's, and they're sending money to the A's to help offset some of his salary. They get back. All right, they get a prospect. Okay, whatever. So you've got McNeil is gone. Nimmo's gone. Alonso's gone. Diaz is gone. So I'll take them in sequence. Nimmo gone. Whatever. You get back Marcus Semien, no issues whatsoever. Diaz goes to the Dodgers, and believe it or not, I didn't blink. I thought once they brought in Devin Williams, I thought the writing was on the wall. I think it would have been cool to have the two of them in the bullpen. The fact that he didn't come back, so be it. I was not as high on Edwin Diaz as a lot of Met
people were. I was high on him. I loved him.
Maybe, but I will tell you this, as someone that watches almost every game, 1 year, I will tell you, I felt like every time he walked in, the game was over. Mm. The guy still gives you a stroke every time he comes out there. So the idea that Edwin Diaz isn't here, again, I didn't have an issue with it.
I think because of his age. He was young. You know what I mean? How old is he?
I had no issue with it. Yeah. McNeil going made sense. Clearly that had to come to an end. No issue. Now you read, I love these articles that are coming out. The Mets, so they got Jorge Polanco, who is not really a first baseman, but he's capable of it. Sure, I'll play first base. Okay, great. So there's your replacement at first base. You've got Simeon at second. You've got Lindor at short. Fantastic. Now the conversation is the Mets need to go out and get a right-handed bat with pop.
Right.
Didn't they just let that guy walk out the door? It was their guy. It was their home run leader, the franchise leader in home runs, goofy, good guy. They let him go. So now, what name has popped up in the last 24 hours? Ketel Marte. Ketel Marte, the Mets are going to go after. And I say why. He's a second baseman and a shortstop that sure has played a little outfield in his career, right. But he's a middle infielder who, while he's okay, I'm not saying he's a bad player, a good player, he's also older than Alonso. Like, none of this makes sense to me. And the idea that you are purging the old guard, I don't have an issue with. But I do think there are some people here that could have been part of the solution, and Pete Alonso, to me, was one of them.
He just seemed like a lifer to me.
I agree with you. I thought so, too.
I thought he was never on the table for, like, to leave
at all. Well, I mean, the GM made that pretty clear. I mean, he has made that very clear for the last year and a half, and now it's come to fruition. He's gone. Fine. Okay. But this notion that if they get Cody Bellinger, all is right, wrong. It still doesn't make them a better team than last year. But you know what would have made them better than last year? Is if you would have kept Alonso, you did everything else you did. I have no issues with anything else. And you added Bellinger. Now, all of a sudden, if you envision what would have been in a lineup that has Lindor, Alonso, Soto, and Bellinger, you can't tell me that's not better than last year. On top of the fact that I anticipate them going out and getting another real good starting pitcher. You are better by default. So I don't know that it's worth this long conversation anymore because the Alonso thing is out of the bag. He's in Baltimore. It's over. But the idea that, well, you know what, these guys didn't win. I agree with you. You needed to get rid of a lot of these guys. You did. You didn't need to get rid of all of them. Last time I checked, Lindor was part of it. He's still here.
He ain't going nowhere.
No, of course not, nor should he. But I don't think Alonso should have went anywhere either. Maybe there's a deal in the works with, I don't know, someone in San Diego. I don't know. All I know is right now, the options I see that are out there, at least in terms of free agency, trades are crazy. You never know what they could do, I suppose. And I know they're very rich in the farm, and they've got a lot of, in the minor leagues, they got a lot of people they could trade. Okay, fine. Until I see it, though, I am really curious as to what this opening day team is going to look like. And why or how someone is going to convince me that they're going to be better than the Dodgers. They got a lot of work to do.
The way you just laid it out, like, the Dodgers are filthy. I mean, and not even that. If you're this Mets and the disappointing season that you just endured, you have to come back with something. And you just let the house walk out the door. So it's like, where do you turn now?
And again, those three I don't have an issue with. I really don't. But the Alonso thing, still to me, I just can't grasp the idea that
was that never salvageable.
It doesn't seem like it was with the GM, because last year it didn't seem like he had all that much interest in re-signing him. It was Steve Cohen and the fans. It was at that Met Day they had where the fans really made it known that they wanted him back, and Steve Cohen, by all accounts, stepped in and got him back on that one-year deal plus the option, which, I mean, let's be honest, if he has a good season, he's gone. If he had a crappy season, he'd be back
because
he would have picked up his own option. That's what got him back here. And then I'm reading this morning that, you know, I know Alonso was on this podcast talking about going to Baltimore. What I read this morning is that the Mets never even really made an offer to him.
Wow.
Like, and he's not 38. You know, do we forget that Aaron Judge has a contract until he's 40-something? So the idea that you couldn't give him 5 years because he's, what, 31 or 32?
I think he's 32.
That contract's over when he's 36 or 37, not four. Juan Soto was signed until he's going to be a grandfather. But we don't have a problem with that. Like, I don't understand the notion of can't give him 5 years, can't give him 5 years, can't give him 5 years. Why? Like, why? Like, where's the proof that he is going to be a broken down disaster at age 35
when
the guy across town is sitting in his mid 30s and still looks like Babe Ruth? And he could transition to DH if you want to get better defensively at first base. Like, there's things you can do.
Was it more about the numbers?
No. No, I mean money?
Yeah.
I think it was about the years. I really think it was about the fact they were not going to go 5 years. And again, if there's this big grand plan, I'm all for it. But I find it hard to see it. I don't know. Unless there's some big trade in the works that none of us know.
Could be.
I guess it's possible.
But you got to come back with something.
Yeah. And right now.
It doesn't look good.
Right now, the lineup to me, again, it's December 23rd. It better look a lot different on March 23rd than December 23rd. But this team leaves a lot to be desired right now as it stands. So we shall see. I don't know. I know Fliegelman's a huge Met fan. I have no idea where he stands on it. Rascone, you're a Met fan or no? I mean, you tell me where you think this team will be in March.
I think this team is going to be you're going to be very disappointed at what you're going to see, I think, on the field. And I think a lot of it has to do with the impending collective bargaining agreement in 2027.
So that's a very good thing you bring up, because I do think I don't believe there's going to be baseball in 2027. I do think there's going to be a work stoppage.
Really?
I do. Yeah. I think they're going to play 2026. I think these two sides are going to be so far apart.
So you're talking deadlock stop.
I don't think
everybody
they're
going to go home. We'll talk.
I don't think there will be baseball in 2027. That's just my opinion. I think you're going to have ownership that is going to dig in for a salary cap, because you've got teams. You can't tell me that most of the teams in Major League Baseball aren't completely fed up with the Dodgers. The Dodgers are playing by the rules, even though I don't like what they did with Ohtani and all of that crap. But
to the gambling and all that nonsense?
Well, no, I just mean all the deferments and the fact that he's barely making any money, yet they paid him $800 million. You know what I'm saying? I think you've got a lot of owners that need policing of themselves by way of a salary cap. And I think you've got a players union that is in no way, shape, or form going to stand for a salary cap. And I think they will be locked out in 2027. That's what I think.
Wow.
Could be wrong, but I don't think there will be baseball next year.
Both sides are so far apart that they were already talking about this happening when they signed the last one.
Correct. It's not close. That's why I don't think there will be any games next year. And so what he brings up could be part of this. We don't want to lock into what could be post 27 if the rules in play are different. I would like someone to come out and say that, though. Just give us some semblance of what you're thinking, because they don't. And God love David Stearns in terms of he does talk to the media when he has to, but he says a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
He just talks and talks and talks and talks and doesn't really say anything, like most GMs.
A stoppage would be brutal.
Well, it always is. I mean, they canceled the World Series in 94.
I just think about all how we digest it. I mean, with the way streaming and Apple and all them play a part in Major League Baseball now, like, it just seems like it would be harder to overcome.
Yeah, it always comes back.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have a lot of people, myself included. In 94, as much as I loved baseball, I was so really ticked off at baseball that it took me a few years to get back into it. Like, I stopped watching.
But so that's my point.
It does come back eventually.
But, like, look how dominant the NFL is. Like, the NFL is going global. Like, believe it or not, ESPN is going to have their first Super Bowl next year. Right? You think about the way basketball is trending and how people are more invested in just the overall culture of the NBA right now as far as superstars and teams are getting bigger, yada, yada, yada. Now you're talking about the stoppage. Like, this generation is barely watching it now.
They watch clips.
Right.
I look at the I look at baseball like I look at the NBA. I don't think people watch games. I think they watch clips and highlights.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews,
all on the app. Download today.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Mark Belusis, Sports Radio 101.9 FM, The Fan, WFAN.
All right, snow, Christmas right around the corner, new year coming, LaPresti firing out the gates with the 10 a.m. update. There you go. Nice baseball jersey you're wearing, by the way, as well. It's sharp.
Little Boomer and Geo softball team throwback.
Looks good.
Circa 2018.
You're looking sharp, CeeLo.
It's Christmassy,
yeah,
sort of.
You can pull off facial hair as well. I can. Extremely jealous. So can Hoff. So can Dove. I can't. So I've got three guys that have got tremendous beard looks as we take you right up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's a Tuesday midday right here on The Fan in New York. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. And can hit me up on X at Mark Melusis as well. That's Mark with a C. And plenty to chat about, plenty to get into. Brian Baldinger will join us a little bit later on in the program, his usual spot. Talk a little NFL after what was a pretty entertaining Monday night game, if you're a 49er fan, for my son Paul Melusis, who was celebrating as Brock Purdy threw five touchdown passes and Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers went out there and put up 40-plus points against Philip Rivers and the Indianapolis Colts. So we'll get into a little NFL, continue the conversation that we had yesterday surrounding the Jets and the Giants. But we kick it off with a little bit of baseball. And, you know, it's been an interesting offseason as far as the Yankees and the Mets are concerned. But we'll kick it off with the New York Mets. And yesterday, another, you know, foundational piece, core piece, rat raccoon guy, Jeff McNeil traded to the Oakland Athletics. Yordan Rodriguez, a 17-year-old fireballer, going to the New York Mets. Mets sending the A's some cash as well to offset some of the salary for Jeff McNeil. The interesting thing when you look at what David Stearns is doing, and he is obviously, and I understand there are a lot of Met fans that are upset, irate, about Pete Alonso now being a Baltimore Oriole, that Edwin Diaz decided to take the $69 million and run to the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, that Brandon Nimmo is now a member of the Texas Rangers, traded for Marcus Semien, and now that Jeff McNeil. And listen, I think there's different levels of intrigue when you look at the, in terms of the deals that David Stearns made and the impact, emotional impact on the Met fan throughout the course of the tri-state area. There's no question. But the fascinating aspect to me is this, is that when you have, you know, Steve Cohen, and I've talked to, I mean, richest singular owner in all of Major League Baseball, worth north of $22 billion. I mean, it's just whatever he wants, the world is his oyster, and God bless. I mean, he's worked hard, he's invested well. I mean, he's done everything, his investment for everything that he's done. You know, and Steve Cohen has been a godsend for the New York Met fan. But the pushback on the Post report from last week in terms of where the Met payroll is going to be, and Cohen's not out there doing a Zoom call like Hal Steinbrenner did, saying, you know, if I had my druthers, I'd like to bring payroll down, doing nothing of the sort, right? It's just like it's the Dodgers and it's everybody else and the complexion of Major League Baseball. I've said it time and time again. I mean, you're not, Steve Cohen's going to go out there and continue to be aggressive. He understands that you need to have a winning product in order for people to show out at Citi Field. And He called out the Met fan this past offseason after giving Juan Soto a $765 million contract, and he wanted the Met fan to show up out at Citi Field. And you know what? After having attendance right in the mid-teens the year before and getting called out by Brandon Nimmo toward the tail end of the season, and that's the season in which the Mets made a run to the National League Championship Series before losing to the eventual champion Los Angeles Dodgers, the Met fan responded a year ago and showed up in droves out to Queens, out to Flushing, out to Citi Field, and packed the ballpark on a night-in, night-out basis, and, you know, all was well. And I've said it before, Cohen's going to remain aggressive. It's just that he is not the driving force to this Mets team right now. And that guy is the guy that he waited a year and a half for, and that being the David Stearns. I mean, he is the driving force. He is going to build this team as he sees fit. Now, he better be right. Listen, I'm not going to cry over Jeff McNeil. Listen, I think, you know, the pouting, the complaining, you know, the way he evolved as a hitter, the fact that he was no longer making contact, fell in love with trying to launch angle, trying to hit the ball over the fence. Like, you know, I get the addition by subtraction when you're getting rid of Jeff McNeil. You don't necessarily need McNeil when you've got Marcus Semien, who's got a gold glove defensive for a second baseman. Now, offensively, Semien in his mid-30s is no longer the player that he once was. But still, you get that. You understand that. The Mets internally could say, well, we're going to find options to go out there and replace Pete Alonso at first base and his production. Well, that's where the emotional draw is, because the Met fan, homegrown New York Met, just as McNeil was, right? But Alonso was clearly more productive and obviously more impactful. But, you know, he's a guy that gets the 5-year contract and decides to leave for the Baltimore Orioles. I mean, it was a complete and utter mess where Edwin Diaz said, thanks, but no thanks. I don't want to get back on board this boat. I'm going to take my ball. I'm going to go out to Los Angeles. I'm going to pitch for the Dodgers. I know what I'm going to get out there. Beautiful city, beautiful ballpark. They, you know, world champion, two-time defending World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. And you've got one star after another. And you know what? They need a big-time closer. I'm going to take the $69 million. I understand there was more at the table. If there indeed was more at the table, why didn't the Mets offer more at the table for Edwin Diaz? Right, and then you get to the Brandon Nimmo trade. I understand that Nimmo was not exactly seeing eye to eye for a myriad of different reasons with certain guys on that team or certain players on that team, and that, you know, maybe it created an issue within the clubhouse. The amazing thing to me when you look at the clubhouse issue for the New York Mets, if that is what you are going to say why this team ultimately failed in 2025, and it was an unmitigated disaster, tell me the place where everybody likes each other. Like, you know, not even everybody at WFAN likes each other. You know, tell me the team where everybody likes each other. Where you walk into the room and basically everyone's giving you a bro hug. Where you walk into the room and everyone's like, hey, how's your kids doing? How's your wife doing? Like, there are people that care for you. There are people that don't. But here's the deal. Can you go out there and produce for the common goal and the sake of this, for a team, and go out there and win? Not every member of the Giants likes each other. Not every member of the Jets like each other. Not every member of the Knicks. Not every member of the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils. Run through any single team. How about St. John's? Not every member of the St. John's Red Storm, who've fallen out of the top 25 for the first time this year because they have no point guard. With all the NIL money they spent during the course of the offseason, they still have no point guard whatsoever. Good luck making Ian Jackson a point guard. That has been a work in progress. But I digress. Not everybody needs to get along. The Mets failed in 2025, not because there was this great chemistry issue within the clubhouse. The Mets failed in 2025 because their pitching stunk. I mean, that is it. So I don't need to hear about Lindor not calling Juan Soto the day that he signed with the New York Mets and welcoming him into Queens. I don't need to hear about Nimmo having issues, obviously, with Lindor. Lindor historically has had issues with Jeff McNeil and flared up once again. Mr. Smiles, obviously, you know, has been a bit. When Mets made that run to the National League Championship Series, Lindor was having one big hit after another, right? And you've seen the rumors of going out there and, you know, maybe potentially trading Lindor to the San Diego Padres. That's been rumored out there. So if David Stearns wants to look at this Met team and say, well, it was a big cultural issue, it was a big chemistry issue within that clubhouse out there in Flushing, well, I'll tell you this, the pitching stunk. Like, if you mean to tell me, say if Manaea in 2025 was the version in 24, say if Kodai Senga was the epitome of health the entire season, you mean to tell me you think this Met team wouldn't have made the playoffs
because of chemistry and that guy's getting along within that clubhouse? That, to me, is a little bit of a bridge too far. And last year's failure falls on the guy that is now in charge of orchestrating and putting this entire team together. And listen, we've seen Cohen get involved before when Billy Epler and Epley was running this organization, right? And we saw him go out there and bring in guys like Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and be super aggressive and all of those things, right? So we saw Cohen get involved. And you know that Steve Cohen understands that he needs to have a winner. But what Steve Cohen has decided to do here after waiting for the better part of a year to get his guy to be the president slash general manager of this Met organization is he's going to allow David Stearns to go out there and operate this team as he sees fit, whether you like it or not. Now the question is, can he go out there and be successful? You saw the quote a couple days ago after, Alonso decided to leave and take, the 5-year contract for the Baltimore Orioles, that when you look at David, he is one that leans into the very fact of having grinders, not stars. Well, I'll tell you this, stars play in New York City. And he has clearly put his chips in the middle of this table, and it better work. Because if it doesn't work, there's no one else to blame. They fired the entire coaching staff outside of Mendoza. They blamed, obviously, Lindor in a myriad of different ways, in the papers. You look at it, Juan Soto doesn't take any blame whatsoever. Why would the guy that just signed a $765 million contract take any blame, even though he did not have a prototypical Juan Soto type of year with big-time home runs and big-time spots, right? Alonso is gone. Nimmo is gone. McNeil is gone. Edwin Diaz is gone. You've replaced Edwin Diaz in the back end of the bullpen with two former Yankees, Devin Williams, who stunk to the high heavens a year ago with the Yankees, and gave him $51 million. And then you decided to say, well, we're going to lean into the good year, bad year, and we're going to lean into Luke Weaver, and we're going to give him a 2-year contract, and we're going to bring Weaver aboard. So we've got to reshape it. Oh, by the way, Stearns is also the same guy at the MLB trade deadline a year ago. Went out there, reconstructed the back end of the bullpen, and listen, everybody and their mother celebrated the moves that David Stearns made, but still, in the end, it was disastrous. You better win. I mean, ultimately, that's really what it comes down to. You better win. And if you're going to tell me, this offseason that everything was about a chemistry issue with the New York Mets, I think you're turning a blind eye to what the real issue for the New York Mets is. And listen, this offseason, and that was the starting pitching. The Mets didn't have enough. They didn't have enough to get across the finish line. That's why they called on to guys like Sproat and Tong and obviously the brilliance of Nolan McClain at the end of the season. They didn't have enough. And that was a miracle stab, trying to maybe try and get this team across the finish line. But the reason why they were so magical in 2024 was because the pitching was there. The back end of the bullpen pitching was there. The starting rotation was there. They had an understanding. Vientos obviously was a positive impact, and Vientos a year ago was a shell of what he represented big time down the stretch for the better part of three quarters of the season the year before. The Mets even went on that run to the National League Championship Series, and outside of the home run by Alonso off of Devin Williams, Pete Alonso didn't have your prototypical big moment kind of year from the polar bear. He did a year ago, and yet the team failed. And this is all about chemistry. So now you've trying to create chemistry. Now the question is, can you replicate the production? Because you've taken a lot off of this team. And if you want to tell me, well, we're going to be one that we're going to lean in on the defense with Marcus Semien at second base. Well, we're going to be a run prevention type of team. Well, I'll tell you, that starting rotation as it stands right now doesn't look like one of the more dominant starting rotations in all of Major League Baseball. You're gambling on Devin Williams returning to the form that he showed with the Milwaukee Brewers. I get the familiarity, but Devin Williams a year ago did not resemble that kind of player with the New York Yankees. You're banking on Luke Weaver becoming the guy that returning to the figure that he was in 2024, not the oft-injured, underperforming reliever that he was in 25. But when you get to this starting rotation, it's a lot of ifs. If everything we saw from Nolan McClain a year ago is real, well, then that'll be a solution. What are you exactly going to get from a guy like Peterson? What are you going to get from a Clay Holmes? What are you going to get from after a lost season from Sean Manaea? What exactly are you going to get from Kodai Senga after another lost year?
We can go back to that rookie season. We can lay claim all you want. And here are the questions that are facing the New York Mets. And then you look across the country out in Los Angeles, and you look at the Dodgers as they are the two-time defending World Series champions, and you say to yourself, well, the Dodgers just go big game hunting. They don't care about prospects. They don't care about their farm system. They don't care about how much money they spend. Ultimately, their goal is to win. And Cohen could go out there and hop on social media, and I love Steve. I mean, I think he's been a godsend for the New York Mets. There's no doubt about it, right? And what he has done as Met owner, you know, what he's done in and around the building. Obviously, he gets the license, the gaming license, and they're going to build up that area around Citi Field and all of those things. But ultimately, he wants to win. But if you learn anything from Cohen over the years, the way that he runs his business is that he hires guys and lets them do their job until they don't and until they fail. David Stearns has taken a big swing. There's no question about it. The guys that you are quite familiar with, homegrown guys like Nimmo, homegrown guy like McNeil, homegrown guy like Pete Alonso, guys that have been here for years, good times and in bad. Edwin Diaz, the up and down nature with him, gone. You have Cohen on social media going out there defending where the payroll is going to be, and I think they're going to spend. And now David Stearns is going to have to go out there and be super creative in terms of addressing the production needs for this team in 2025 to go along with the starting rotation as well. Because that team a year ago failed because of the president. Because of the arrogance about the pitching lab. That is why the team failed. Not because of the chemistry. Not because guys didn't see eye to eye. And I'm not telling you that, you know, when the losing persists. The Mets got off to a great start, and for the better part of the 4.5 months, they were one of the worst teams in all of Major League Baseball. The reason why is because the pitching wasn't good enough, and we all saw it. And that's not a chemistry issue. That's a starting rotation issue. And it wasn't good enough. Now, will it be in 2026? He's got a lot of work to do. But he is designing this team in his baseball acumen. He's designing this team in the way that he, in his vision. And we'll see if it succeeds. The one argument you'd make and give him a little bit of time is, ultimately, if your goal is to win a World Series, and that is the goal, that group failed. They did. Alonso failed. McNeil failed. Nimmo failed. And it doesn't fall all on them, so sometimes you need to maybe take a little bit of a step back in order to take a couple steps forward. The question you have is, how big of a step back do you take in 2026, if at all? I want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. They remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody. 888-808-1019, that is your number to call. We get to go a little bit baseball. Another homegrown Met is gone. McNeil gone, Alonso gone, Nimmo gone. Edwin Diaz, obviously not a homegrown Met. He's out in Los Angeles basking in the sunshine of a two-time defending World Series champion, the Los Angeles Dodgers, after signing that $69 million contract. What's next for the New York Mets? Want to hear from you. It's a Tuesday midday. Malusis with you right here. Where else? The Fan in New York. Out to Manhattan, kicking us off here on this Tuesday. It's Ralph. It's the Fan. What's going on, Ralphie?
Mark, great opening, fantastic opening, but this team hated each other. Now they're dispersed around Major League Baseball, and they can't hate each other anymore, so it's kind of a nice, humane thing to do to these four guys because they couldn't stand each other. If you think otherwise, you're not watching the same team that I've been watching.
Hold on, Ralph, I'm not telling you that they all loved one another. I'm telling you that's not the reason why the team lost.
I got you. I'm not necessarily talking to you when I address that to I'm mostly anybody that thinks differently about that aspect. Now, I can bring up this aspect. The 84 Padres hated each other. Where did they go? The 72 Oakland A's despised each other. And, of course, they were so successful. The 77 Yankees.
About a month ago, do I need to hear the story of, you know, and it get leaked out? I think it was Puma in the New York Post who had the story about Francisco Lindor and Soto not seeing eye to eye because Lindor didn't call him to welcome him to Queens. I mean, the man just signed a $765 million contract. I mean, that is...
Well, you know something,
I mean,
Mark.
Like,
something,
what do we need to do here? Because Soto didn't have the relationship with Lindor that he had with Judge. Okay, that's fine. Go out there and do your job. Like, that's really what it comes down to. You know, whether or not Lindor and Nimmo liked one another, I don't think Brandon Nimmo or Lindor are thinking about that when they're facing a 1-2 pitch, two out men on second and third trying to get a hit.
Well, you got it. I mean, I get you. And you know, you mentioned WSAN, you probably hate each other over there too. But the thing is,
I hate each other.
Well, you have mixed feelings. But here's the thing, Mark.
Yeah.
If you dismantle a team from the inside out the way they gutted, and I use the word gutted very carefully, the way they gutted this team, you can't put a happy face on this. They took Nimmo, who was a productive player. They took Diaz. They took Pete, who's a fan favorite. Now they take McNeil, who's versatile, and they send them elsewhere. You have to make up for these losses. You can't just go into your season and say, well, the chemistry was terrible. We had to do something. One last thought about Stearns. You know, I'm sure he's smarter than I am, but I question it sometimes. Because of his intellectualism and because he approaches things in such a cerebral manner, I have to say to myself, how much baseball, you know, on-hands baseball, do you actually know? And then I say to myself, probably very little. What do you think about that aspect?
Well, what do you mean? Does it know the game from a player perspective, or does it know the game from an evaluation standpoint?
Well, you know how the managers manage, you know, they in cahoots with the guy upstairs. They're not really their own man in the dugout anymore.
Yeah, analytics.
When you're in the dugout, you have a bird's eye view, if you will, of the action. You see what's going on firsthand. You see the ins and outs, all the dynamics of the game. When you're high above and you're kind of looking at analytics and you're doing all those kinds of things, you have what I would call a hands-off kind of approach, and the hands-off kind of approach, Mark, doesn't necessarily work. The history will tell you it doesn't work.
Well, I mean, Ralph, I think, you know, the way baseball players are evaluated now is completely different than years ago. You know, I always go back to that book, and I even told Joe this himself when I interviewed him a number of years ago at his charity golf event during the course of the summer out in Westchester. But you know, he needed to remind Brian Cashman at the end that there is a heartbeat to the game. Human beings do play the game. Not everything's going to be out there on a spreadsheet. Not everything can be analytically driven. Not everything can go out there and say, well, you know, this and this is going to necessarily equate to that. That's not the way life works. It really doesn't. So I think when you look at David Stearns, I think he is calculated. I mean, I do think he's a bright individual. I think he knows baseball. I mean, but I think he's also got a vision for this team, and that is how he is molding this team within his vision. I think they leaned into, with the addition of Soto, thinking that he was going to be the cherry on the top after the run to the National League Championship Series last year, and thinking that that was going to be the end-all, be-all, and everything was going to work out. But as we see in Major League Baseball, as you see in sports, not every year is one and the same. And you might correct one issue, but then issues 2, 3, and 4 that weren't there the year before, all of a sudden they rear their ugly head. So now a team that year before, now, you know, we're going to blame the chemistry on the team. And I'm not telling you that they all liked one another. I would never lie to you. I would never say that. But I think it doesn't really matter. I think it's a matter of guys going out there and doing their job. Now, you want to say, well, you know, that helps when you're losing, not to point fingers. That helps when you're losing to dig yourself out of that losing streak. Yeah, I understand you want to have a team that's a together group. But last year's Met team, they failed because the pitching was a disaster. I mean, it just was. It wasn't good enough. The back end of the bullpen until the MLB trade deadline was disastrous. The starting rotation and the amount of guys that went down to injury, and they could not get back to where they were from a year ago from a production standpoint. Let's head out to Southampton. It's Steven. It's the fan. What's going on, Steven?
Yes, pleasure to talk to you. You and Joe Benigno are the best, and JJ.
Yeah, JJ, yeah.
Yeah. The only question I have is, I'm a huge Met fan, and I can't figure out why they would have let Alonso go and not replace him. I mean,
well,
he's your best player.
He's not their best player. That's not true.
Well, who's our best player if it's not Alonso?
Soto's a better player than Pete Alonso.
Soto didn't do much this season.
Well, not this year, but if I'm going to ask, you know, say for argument's sake, 10 GMs in Major League Baseball, I give you an opportunity to start a team just for the upcoming year. I'm not talking about long term. You're going to start a team with Soto. You're going to start a team with Alonso. They're going to start the team with Soto. All 10 of them.
Okay, I understand that. But
I'd be honest with you,
I
think they probably start the team with Lindor, too.
Why would you let one of your best players go, who you need power from, who you now a garbage team, without replacing him? I thought money wasn't an issue.
Why did you let him go? No, I get it. They did not want to give. Alonso wanted a long-term deal. And I don't blame Pete.
Big deal.
It was not. They were never going to give the Mets and David Stearns. And this should not be surprising, Steve. The Mets entered the last offseason. They didn't want to give Alonso a long term deal. Now coming off Alonso setting a new Met home run record, having a good productive year, having a Alonso polar bear type of moments out there at Citi Field. A year older, do you think they were necessarily going to give Alonso now a long term deal? He was seeking a 6-7 year contract. Ends up getting a 5-year deal from the Baltimore Orioles. The Mets were never going to pay him because David Stearns' vision did not include Pete Alonso.
And what does it include? The garbage that he just got at second base?
Simeon's a plus defender. Garbage is strong. Simeon's a really good defensive player. Now, he had 230 a year ago.
Do you think the Dodgers would want him as their second baseman?
Do I think the Dodgers?
Yeah. Do you think the Dodgers would want him as their second baseman?
I do not. But I don't think anybody. But here's the deal, Steven. I don't think anybody in Major League Baseball operates on the level of the Dodgers. The Dodgers are what the Yankees used to be. So it's incomparable. The frustrating aspect is you'd like to see the Mets and the Yankees both go out there and operate on that kind of level. Now, they don't. And, you know, I've kind of hammered the Yankees for that aspect of it. But from a Met perspective, now Steve Cohen's going to give Stearns an opportunity. They tried it. It didn't work. It failed. Now Stearns is going to get the pressure's on him because this is his baby and nobody else's. I mean, he is crafting this team as he sees fit, and we're going to see exactly where the results do lie. Does it work? Does Devin Williams have a huge bounce back year? Luke Weaver, how do you replace the production? You want to have everybody come together around the bonfire, make some s'mores and sing Kumbaya and bring the chemistry important in that clubhouse. Everyone getting along, as Hal talked about, you know, after the Yankees lost in the playoffs to the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, it's great. Fantastic. I mean, that's great. I want to see guys that go out there and win. That's what you want to see. Ultimately, you don't necessarily care if Lindor and Nimmo are getting along, if Lindor and McNeil are getting along, if Lindor didn't call Juan Soto, because ultimately, you, the paying Met fan, you, the baseball fan, what you want to watch is this team go out there and do their job and play their capabilities. Ben in Manhattan's up next on the Fan. What's going on, Ben?
Hey, a couple quick points. I think that these guys are professionals. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, they're making millions of dollars and they put their differences aside on the field. But I think the larger point that I wanted to call and make is that our starting pitching wasn't that far off this year. If Canning doesn't go down, if Senga doesn't go down earlier in the season, then you know what? We were one or two wins away from the wild card. So now, you know, where we are today with, you know, Alonso leaving and everything, and Nimmo leaving, it kind of reshapes everything. But the starting pitching wasn't that far off. If we had one or two more wins out of those guys, and we would have gotten a lot more if they stayed healthy, then, you know, we would have been, anything could happen in the playoffs. And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm super optimistic about everything. I'm not sugarcoating things, but you know what? Like, if these guys stayed healthy and down the stretch could go more than four innings,
yeah. But Ben, ifs and buts for candies and nuts, every day would be Christmas. They didn't, and you didn't have anybody that could step
that.
In. And what inning? By the way, what inning was Edwin Diaz in the final game against the Marlins? What inning did Mendoza bring him in? Was that the fourth inning? I think it was fourth or fifth inning. I believe
yeah.
it was.
No, it shouldn't have come down to that.
Starting pitching was a disaster. McClain was great. Jonah Tong wasn't ready. Sproat's not ready. I mean, McClain was great. You know, you sent Kodai Senga away, as Mendoza said, he was non-competitive. Even with the ghost fork, right? you look at it, you know, Peterson was very, very hit and miss. Clay Holmes, who the Mets arrogantly said, we're going to take you as a reliever, we're going to make you a starting pitcher. Clay Holmes was hit and miss over the course of the year. I like Clay. I mean, you know, easy guy to go out there and root for, no doubt. Not saying the other guys aren't, but, you know, having interviewed him a number of times over the years, Clay Holmes, good guy, right? So, but he was hit and miss, right? But at times he was really good. Other times he had issues going out there finding the strike zone. You called upon the bullpen so much they became gassed and exhausted.
Yeah.
You know, early on in the season. Then the guys that you brought in at the MLB trade deadline that was going to rejuvenate the back end of the bullpen were disastrous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the best thing that could have happened for the Mets is them not making the playoffs, because I think that if they did make the playoffs in a wild card berth and then they're one round out or two rounds out, then, you know, we kind of perpetuate the problem and think everything's good. And I think that by not making the playoffs, we address the starting pitching issue that we do have. But we were still, you know, one or two wins away from.
Right, but the team, I get it, from making it to the playoffs, punching the ticket. The team was going in the complete opposite direction as the year before. The year before, the Mets going into the postseason were playing like the best team in all of Major League Baseball. This past year, even if they, you know, staggered across the finish line for the better part of 4 months, they were one of the worst teams in Major League Baseball. I mean, that's just the truth. I mean, just look at the record. So, you know, when you look at it, I think the uncomfortable nature of the New York Met comes to the word trust. You know, there's a lack of trust in David Stearns based on some of the moves that he has made, but that is where the owner, Steve Cohen, and listen, there's been a kind of people throwing out there Met fan frustration. I get it. Like, and I've worked this at this radio station for the better part of 20 plus years, right? So, you know, lived through and heard the Met complaints about Fred Wilpon, Jeff Wilpon, Saul Katz, and the spending, the questions to Omar Minaya. Where's payroll going to be? Are you going to get north of $140 million before the start of the year? And the jealous nature of the way that the Yankees went out there and operated. The idea, though, if you're a Met fan, that, you know, Cohen's big play here was, and it is, you know, revitalize the area around Citi Field, get the gaming license, that it's not about the, listen, Steve Cohen wants to win. There hasn't been much in life that Steve Cohen has not won at, lost at. You know, so Steve Cohen wants to win. He wants to win a World Series. He wants to bring a title back to Flushing for the first time since 1986. He wants to get there. And they tried the nature of spending, 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 spending. And I'm not telling you that the payroll is all of a sudden going to go down. It's going to be north of, you know, 320, 330, whatever it might be, similar in nature to where it was a year ago. But now it's on the creativity of David Stearns to get this team back to where they were 2 years ago, back to the National League Championship Series and try and put the team over the top. But the familiarity and the names, all those guys, for the most part, they're all gone. And they all failed. 1038, Malusis with you. 888-808-1019.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale.
And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.